Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The oral exams for Leaving Certificate students are starting tomorrow, and just yesterday, in a last-minute U-turn on previous advice, the decision was taken that students sitting the exams would be required to wear masks. And I'm joined by the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, for more details on this. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for joining us. Now, it was only last Friday that the State Examinations Commission said that masks would not be permitted for students at the oral exams. Why has this rule or this advice been changed?
Well, I suppose, to be fair, really, the what is coming in place now is an additional requirement. In the first instance, the recommendation for the running of the orals was the guidelines were provided having consulted very rigorously with public health and with public health approval of the measures that were being put in place. And so that included, perspex screens, 2 metre distancing, large rooms, wiping down of equipment, a whole variety of measures really were put in place, and public health were very satisfied with those measures, and indeed public health continue to be satisfied with those measures. And indeed also, I suppose, to say that very many students and schools and principals, and you possibly would have seen a report on RTE News where all of those measures.
So what changed? If everyone was in favour, why did it change?
But So I do want to be clear that I suppose a number of teachers or students expressed the desire that they would be more comfortable, more at ease, if we included the additional measure of the wearing of a mask. And it is for that reason, I know myself, if students are to, I suppose, perform at their maximum, to perform at their best, and again, I'm conscious that this is a new experience and a new environment in a COVID-19 atmosphere, we want students to perform at their best. So if the addition of the mask was going to make them more comfortable and more at ease, then we were happy to do that.
Yeah,
and that's what's been
put in place. It's just interesting that you say the public health advice was that it was okay to go without the masks. We had assistant professor at UCD and architect Orla Hegarty on the programme earlier in the week, and she made the point here that the masks should be worn. She was absolutely convinced at that point that the perspex screens would not be enough and that masks should be worn. Now, I just wonder, you know, why it wasn't considered before this week and the decision only taken yesterday, when it seems some people were aware that this is what should have happened from the get-go.
Well, to be fair, and everybody will have their own views on this, but I want to be very clear. Public health, and there has been consistent engagement with public health on all matters to do with our schools, and in particular in relation to the orals. Public health were very happy with all of the measures, and I want to be clear, it wasn't just perspex screens that were being put in place. There were a whole series of, mitigation measures. There was the distancing, there was the size of the room, and there was the handling of the equipment, the wiping down of equipment, sheets not being shared within the room. There was a whole series of measures put in place there. And for that reason, public health were very, very happy to sign off on it. Mm-hmm. But it was in the interest, I suppose, really, of some students and some teachers, and not all. I want to be very clear that very, very many students and teachers welcomed and were happy with the measures from a public health point of view. But because there were some few that did express a view in terms that they would be more comfortable, they would be more at ease with the additional measure of a mask, we were happy to comply.
So what about the students who feel that perhaps their exam might be compromised now because their communication might be impeded, and who are concerned about this today? Do they have to wear the mask? Does it apply across the board?
Well, to be fair, in any exam situation, whatever measures apply, they apply across the board, that there would be an equality, if you like, in terms of all measures. So it is a requirement now for all. But also, we have included, for example, there is now an obligation in terms of the taping, when the taping does take place or the recording take place, that it will be listened back if there's any issues in terms of you know, communication and proper communication, it will be redone. All of those measures will take place in-house before that it will be forwarded to the SEC. So there will be rigorous examination of the quality, if you like, of the recording prior to it being sent to the SEC.
Was the option explored, as outlined by Sinn Féin's Donal O'Leary on Morning Ireland this morning, that the examiner and the student would be in separate rooms and you would use technology to do this exam, and then you wouldn't need to be having the conversation around masks and clear communication?
Yes, indeed. A whole variety, a whole myriad of options were actually examined and were, I suppose, analysed. And that was one that was examined and analysed. And I suppose in the first instance, we were very clear and we're very conscious, and I'm particularly conscious myself, you know, coming from a teaching background, that students must be happy and confident and, I suppose, you know, in an exam experience as much as we can possibly achieve that. And students are most familiar with, I suppose, the one-to-one engagement for the orals. This is what they've been practising. This is what they've been at for the past 2 years. And that was a strong consideration. Equally so, I'm very conscious that we're all now living in the world of, you know, the virtual world of Zoom and Microsoft Teams and a whole variety of platforms being used. But equally so, we know too that at times there can be a glitch, at times there can be a technical difficulty, and that was seen really as just an additional stress. So,
face to face was seen
in
as better.
In the round, I suppose,
just,
really.
Just on that,
the most familiar experience was face to face.
Will singing exams and music exams that involve musical instruments, will they continue, and will masks be used? How would they be used?
Well, again, masks will be used, including for the music exams, with some exceptions. We'll say, for example, where an individual is singing and there's very specific guidelines laid down as to how that will operate within the room. There will be no face-to-face, directly face-to-face with the examiner. The individual who is singing will be at a right angle. Again, other mitigation measures in terms of equipment, in terms of size of the room, and all
but
of that
will,
has been put
be in
place.
The same room, and they won't be wearing a mask, and they'll be singing, which is considered, you know, very dangerous when it comes to transmission.
Yes, but unlike the orals, they will not be facing directly towards the examiner. They will be at a different angle. It will be a wide room. It will be there's a whole variety of mitigation measures in place there, and it will only be for the duration of the singing. But for other exams, we'll say if it's playing of an instrument or whatever, masks will be worn.
If you're playing a wind instrument?
Well, no, obviously not. But if you're playing another type of instrument.
And have public health approved those plans?
Yes, indeed, absolutely. Every single measure that has been put in place for the orals of any type, or indeed anything to do with our exams, have all been adjudicated and reviewed by public health.
On the wider issue of the full return from the 12th of April, I'm sure you're aware that people are really concerned because infection numbers are not going in the right direction, and your own party leader and Taoiseach described the situation as fragile. What assurances can you give parents and students that schools will be back in full on the 12th of April?
Well, I suppose in the first instance, Claire, you know, we can look at how well schools have done since they have reopened for the, we'll say, the phased reopening. We're now in a situation where we have, you know, our special schools back, our special classes. We have all of primary school and we have fifth and sixth years. And I think it's very reassuring that we can now say, again, from a public health point of view, that our schools continue to be places of low transmission. The infection prevention and control measures are very strong. And indeed, I think it's reassuring for parents and guardians to know that all of these measures have been fully reviewed by public health in advance of schools reopening.
Mm-hmm. Is there any doubt that the schools will be back in full on the 12th of April?
Well, again, if I could just finish the point and just say, even if you were to look at the figures currently within our schools, you know, if you were to look at from the 8th of February to the 20th of March, there were over 6,500 close contacts within schools were identified. And the positivity rate from those tests identified 171 positive cases, which is a positive of 2.6%, when you compare that with the positivity in households at 30%. So what I can say to parents at this point is that the school system has operated very well. We're very satisfied with how things have operated, and we owe an enormous debt of gratitude to the schools, but also to wider society who have played their role to ensure that schools can reopen. But we are at a critical time. We need people to continue to to do what needs to be done in terms of social distancing and wearing masks and reducing contacts, and particularly over the Easter, you know, no play dates, as has been advocated by the Deputy CMO, no sleepovers, just to be very cognizant, really, that we absolutely want all of our children and young people to return to school after Easter. If we continue to do as we're being asked to do, I have every confidence that we can do that, but obviously it will demand a concerted effort by all of society to ensure that we can do that.
So if cases rise, there will be a question mark over whether the schools can return on the 12th of April.
Well, as I would say to you, you know, we're very cognizant of even with, you know, some rise in cases, and I know there have been, you know, a rise in cases and then the cases fall and all of that. You know, within our schools, the school environment has worked very well. But obviously, you know, we're very conscious that COVID-19 is a very fluid situation. We're in a constant state of flux. We never know with variants and all of that. So we are asking people to be particularly vigilant.
So you can't give certainty. I know it's difficult because, yep. I mean, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow,
absolutely,
the next day, the day after. It's difficult to give certainty. But in order to manage people's expectations, is it safe to say that we need to wait and see what happens before the 12th of April?
Well, I think it's very safe to say that as far as we are concerned in the education sector, everything is moving in the right direction for us in terms of education. But we are mindful from past experience that things can change almost overnight, that there is an enormous obligation in all of us to continue to do the right thing to ensure, for example, particularly over Easter, I know people have worked so, so hard, but that over Easter, you know, with children on holidays, that we would be particularly vigilant, you know, in terms of play dates and sleepovers.
And when will you make a final decision on the return on the 12th?
Well, as it stands at the moment, that's our agenda. That's, you know, that's what we're planning for. That's what we're informing our schools that we are opening on the 12th of April. But again, as I say to you, we are going to be cognizant of all that needs to be done in the intervening time to ensure that that happens.
And you'll continue to look at it and judge it as you go, I would assume.
Well, obviously, yes, we will, you know. But as I say, I feel, you know, a tremendous amount of work has been put in place. We have very strong mitigation within our schools. But there is an obligation in wider society to ensure for these next 2 weeks that we are ever vigilant and that we achieve the goal that is in everybody's best interest for a full return. But obviously we keep everything, you know, we watch the situation as it unfolds.
And when it comes to masks and primary school children, is that still on the table that they may be required to wear them?
Well, I suppose I should clarify very clearly, if any parent or any child particularly wishes to wear a mask, they are free to do so. But it is not public health advice to us at this point that children at primary school would wear masks. But again, and I will be very clear on this, if public health makes a determination or a suggestion in that regard, well, you know, then that's what we do. But that is not the public health advice. That is not the best practice advice that is being advocated to us at this point in time.
Has the policy changed around how positive cases in classrooms are dealt with when it comes to close contacts? Because, as we know, we're dealing with this new variant. So since the schools have returned, is there different criteria at play?
Well, what I will say is that every situation as it arises in school is adjudged by the public health team who come on site, because we're very conscious that no two schools will have a similar situation, whether it's, you know, the layout of a room or whatever. So public health makes that adjudication. They are, I think to use the phrase that they have used themselves, casting the net very wide in terms of testing within the schools now, mindful of the situation we are currently in. But again, even though they are throwing the net very wide, I would have to say that the results that we are getting back in terms of, as I say, a close contact testing rate of 2.6-2.7% is very reassuring when you compare that with the substantial positivity rate, as I say, in households of 30%.
I know at your own parliamentary party meeting there was a lot of talk about the restrictions, and I see the front of the Kerry's Eye today in your own constituency says no early exit from COVID lockdown despite just 5 virus cases in Kerry per day. Do you think that there is a case to be made for regional or county by county lifting of restrictions, particularly when you look at what's happening in your own county?
Well, again, as I say, and you would be aware that we have every step of the way been advised by NPHET here. There is a meeting of NPHET next week, and there will be a subcommittee meeting prior to a cabinet meeting. we're very cognizant, really, I suppose, that, and I know myself from personal experience, people have worked so hard. You make reference to the Kingdom and to Kerry, and I know people have tried so hard and worked such, I suppose, long hours and met
and they want reward
challenges.
For it now.
And to be fair, I think we're aware that, you know, we are looking now at measures and what measures can be lifted or relaxed or, you know...
And should they be done on a regional basis? Do you have an opinion
on
that?
I think we would have to be guided by NPHET in terms of that. I think we're very...
But you wouldn't be advocating for it, even though there's very few cases in Kerry?
Well, I think, to be fair, we need to look at the whole, and we need to look at, there are other measures that we need to look at as well in terms of, you know, we were advised, you know, prior to this review, we'd be looking at things like the 5K restrictions. I think that's another consideration for rural counties
I need to go to the newsroom in just a moment, but before I do, will you be asking NIAC to move teachers up the vaccination list?
Well, you would be aware, and I have articulated this very clearly in the Dáil as well, we have made representations on a number of occasions in relation to our school community, school staff, all our school staff, in terms of access to vaccine, and we will continue to advocate for that.
Okay. Minister, thank you for joining us. That's Minister Norma Foley, the Minister for Education.